Our whole life is a preparation for heaven. And in the Beatitudes today, which we heard in the Gospel, we're given a little idea of what heaven is going to be like. The first Beatitude is this: Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if you're wondering what people will be like in heaven, they're going to be poor in spirit. They're going to be humble. They're going to know their place before God. Those in heaven, the mourners, will be comforted. Those in heaven will be meek. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, in heaven they will be satisfied. In heaven they will be merciful, clean of heart, peacemakers, willing to suffer and be persecuted for the sake of Jesus and for others. Just imagine being in a place where everyone is like that. And so many of us, our families and our relationships are so torn apart because of division and hardship and conflict. For me, just this alone, this peace in relationships that will be present in heaven, that alone is hugely appealing. There are a lot of funny ideas about what heaven will be like. Some people seem to think it's going to be this divine golf resort, where you just get to do that favorite thing all day long and you never get bored of it, at least if you're good at golf. If you golf like Father Bob, it's a bit more like being in hell. But no, this is not what heaven is like. So the Beatitudes give us an idea of what heaven will be like. But in the tradition of the church, the Beatitudes are also understood to be the foundation of the entire Christian moral teaching. So pick any moral teaching you want, anything that the church says about how we should live. All of it can be boiled down to these short sayings, these Beatitudes. So in addition to giving us an idea about what heaven will be like, the Beatitudes teach us how to live here and now. And why is there that connection? Why the connection between my life now and in the next life? Well, to understand that, we have to talk a little bit about judgment. There are a lot of funny ideas about judgment day, too. A lot of people seem to think that when you die and go before the judgment seat of God, it's sort of like going to a courtroom and God will be there at the judge's seat, and you're going to go in there in fear and trepidation and just hope that you make it, that you were good enough, and God's going to check off the good that you did and the bad that you did, and hopefully, if you're just lucky enough, you might get let in. But that's not what it will be like. A lot of other people, maybe this is becoming even more common today, seem to think that there will be no judgment. They think that when you die, you just go to heaven and you're in a better place. And unless, maybe if you're really, really, really bad, you might get sent to hell, but pretty much everyone's just going to be in heaven. But no, this is not what Jesus teaches us either. At Judgment Day, God will be there with open arms. He wants to welcome and receive everyone. He wants all human beings, all of us, to be united with him in heaven. The choice is ours if we will choose him. It's not that God is going to be there and will accept some people and cast others aside. It's that some people on Judgment Day will choose God and others might not. God gives us the freedom, both in this life and in the next, to choose or reject him. So it comes down to us, whether we will choose God. And if we in this life live in such a way that we're attached to sin, and we don't live by the Beatitudes and these moral teachings that God gives us, we're not going to want to be in heaven. Because heaven is a place where all people freely choose these things. And this brings us to our first reading, from the prophet Zephaniah. The prophet says, "Seek justice, seek humility. Perhaps you may be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger." It's kind of like one of those Old Testament sayings that can be a little hard on our ears today. The Lord's anger, or other translations say the Lord's wrath. What it's talking about is not that God might be in a bad mood some days, and hopefully that's not the day when you're in judgment. It's talking about the fact that if we are clinging to sin in our life, when we come before God at judgment day, we're not going to want him. God is so good and so pure and so holy. If we're clinging to sin, we're going to flee from him. That's what the Old Testament is talking about when it speaks of God's anger or God's wrath. It's not him casting us aside, it's us choosing against him. So our life today matters. What we do here in this life matters, because it's all like a preparation for that day when finally, once and for all, we need to choose to either accept God and give him our lives, or to turn away from him. All of this time we have here on earth is an opportunity to prepare for that moment, that final day of reckoning, when God gives us that choice. So a few practical things about living out the Beatitudes. The first thing is that we can't do this on our own. Paul is very clear about this in his letter to the Corinthians, which we heard today. He says, "Whoever boasts should boast in the Lord," which is his way of saying we need him. And any goodness in our lives, any seeking after righteousness that's present in us, comes from God. So if we hope to be faithful to this way of life that God's inviting us into, we need to be on our knees asking the Lord for all the graces that we need. And then another thing about the Beatitudes is that it's not purely just a spiritual reality just between me and God, sort of this vertical dimension, some might call it. Yes, that's a part of it, but also a part of it is how we treat one another, our relationships with the people around us. There's this horizontal dimension. God is calling us not only to seek and thirst for righteousness, but to be merciful, to be peacemakers, to treat those around us in the way that he wants us to treat them. At the middle of these Beatitudes, Jesus gives us the most encouraging one, I think. He says, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." He's giving us a promise. He's not saying that we have to do it all perfectly now. He's saying, if you thirst for this, if you long for this, that's enough for me to be able to work. If you thirst for righteousness, I will be there and I will help you to be faithful. You will be satisfied. Our whole life is a preparation for heaven. Let's ask the Lord today and every day to have the grace to thirst for righteousness and to have the confidence in his grace to help us to live in the way that he wants us to live.